The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding the Almighty Creator, and then we'll talk about the Creator's name is Yah. Overview of the program. The broadcast examines the essence of my message regarding the Almighty Creator. We then consider that the true name of the Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing. We then note that Yah is the essential name of the Almighty, and that Yah is angry about names. We then discuss Yah in everyday language, breaking the third commandment, and we look at why names are important. We then start to discuss that names do matter, in particular reference to Yah and Yeshua. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What's End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So this message was originally written in May 2021. The reference is 202-10501, the essence of my message regarding the Almighty Creator. This broadcast seeks to summarize the most important information about the Almighty Creator, which every person should know. Number one, he has always existed. The mighty Creator has always existed. His true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, not Adonai, not God, not G_D, and not Hashem. Allah translates accurately as the Almighty, which is an accurate designation, although he prefers to be called Yah. Two, we exist because he was lonely. At the start of creation, Yah was lonely and wanted friends. So he set about creating an intelligent being with the ability to make choices, reason, and engage in rational conversation. We are the end product. He wants each and every human being alive today to become his friend, but almost no one knows that. So, folks, the first point, he's always existed. I understand that that's a difficult concept. The reality is, if you look around you, there's all this stuff. There's you, there's the plants, there's the animals, there's the planet, there's the atmosphere, there's the solar system, there's the sun, there's the moon, etc., etc. It has to have come from somewhere. So either itself imagined itself and self-created itself, or there was a creator and we don't know where the creator came from. I suggest for your consideration that it's easier to believe that there's a creator who was always in existence than it is to believe that all this stuff self-invented itself and self-originated itself. There are other teachings on the website which go into much more detail as to why you should believe that he exists. And then we exist because he was lonely, and it makes so much sense when you actually think about it. Point number three, life on earth is a training and testing ground for rank in heaven. Life on earth is a training and testing ground for rank in heaven. Depending on the level of your relationship with the Creator at the time of your death, you will be rewarded for eternity, ranging from a high throne in heaven to being rejected as a demon on earth, destined for the lake of fire and brimstone. See the demographics of the kingdom page on the website. Four, creation took place in an evolutionary manner. Creation took place in an experimental iterative, that is, evolutionary process of progressive refinement to achieve the desired outcome. So there are many planets suitable for life in some form. See Our World Today history on the website. This is really important to understand. It doesn't matter, well, I guess that's not right. It does matter that life is difficult and testing, particularly if you're really going out of your way to serve Father. The thing to know is that depending on how you shape up, depending on how your relationship with Father shapes up, you will qualify for an appropriate rank in heaven. And that is so important, that to understand that there is a glorious reward for really working hard at your relationship with Father. And then coming back to creation in an evolutionary manner, when Father started, he had a rough concept in mind of what he wanted. And he formulated a design, and progressively he worked on that to bring it into existence. And so there was experimentation. There was this thing that evolutionists consider. What the evolutionists see is completely valid. It's just a case of how it happened, whether there was a creator or not. In point number five, Satan developed pride and rebelled. During the process of creation, the spirit being or messenger or angel that we know today as Satan, then he was called Hillel, developed a manufacturing defect, pride, and rebelled. This led to the contest in terms of which Satan is seeking to corrupt humankind completely, while the Almighty is seeking to keep us true to himself. Currently, Satan is winning. See the real contest on the website. 6. Yah is Chesed, that is covenant love. Yah is Chesed, that is covenant love, and he expects that of us. So love your enemies as yourself, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. Our fundamental principles. He does not want us killing other people and committing suicide bombing atrocities to earn his approval. So call it a manufacturing defect, call it what you will. The fact of the matter is that Hillel rebelled. He said to Father when he was about to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, I challenge you to a duel. If you put me on earth with these human beings you're about to create, I guarantee you that in 7 millenniums there will not be a single one that acknowledges you or believes in you. And Yah got angry and he accepted the challenge. And Satan has been horribly successful to the point where there's only a few 100,000 people left who really believe. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Then 7 is a place of great beauty, peace and love. Heaven is a place of great beauty, peace and love for those who qualify to go there. See... the video on YouTube, 09, capital B, lowercase k, capital Y, 9, lowercase v, capital E, capital I, capital Z, lowercase s, and other videos cited at important videos to watch on the website. And in point number 8, Yeshua, Jesus, is the first and most powerful created being. The man incorrectly called Jesus, whose true name is Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, is the first created being who came to earth as a man, born of a virgin, lived a life free of sin, and died a terrible death. This qualified him to become king of all human kings, lord of all human lords, high priest, advocate, and offering for sin. He is seated at the right hand of the Almighty, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. This happens, he will return to rule on earth in around 3003, about 981 years from now. I hope this gives you a clear view of who the Almighty Creator is and why you are here. So I encourage you to go to the webpage, important videos to watch. There are a number of YouTube broadcasts by people who've been to heaven and come back. It's truly a beautiful, beautiful place. And then Yeshua, he was created right at the outset of the creative process, the first spirit being, to help Yah with the creation. And then he volunteered to come to earth and die the terrible death that he died in order to make a way for us to be forgiven our sins and to come to him in heaven. And so I really encourage you to do that. So that's the end of this first section. I'm going to go on now and we're going to look at the true name of the Creator is Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. Yah the Almighty Creator says, if you love me, you will call me by my true name. The true name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is frequently represented as Yahweh, or more correctly Yahuwah, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, which is an accurate anglicization of the true essential name of the Almighty, which is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Yah's true name is very important to him, just as my name, James, is important to me. I do not answer to John or any other name. I do not even answer to Jim or Jimmy, which are commonly used abbreviations of James. This unit of the broadcast contains substantial information about the true name of the Almighty and its significance historically and in understanding the historic writings in the Bible and elsewhere. So we're going to look in quite a lot of detail. I'm going to share with you a number of short articles that were published years ago to try and give you a multifaceted view of the Creator's name. There's so much misunderstanding, and I think the key point is what Father said to me quite a few years ago, 2014, thereabouts. If you love me, you will call me by my true name. And I really suggest that for you, if you're battling with Yah and Yahweh and Yahuwah and what have you, just make a decision. If you love him, call him by his true name. Do whatever research you need to do. But Yahweh occurs around 7,000 times in the Bible, and Yah occurs over 7,000 times in the Bible. There's no reason to doubt. So this information and the use of the correct names is vital to clearing up massive confusion that exists among believers as well as the world at large. Many years ago, as I was first exposed to teachings about the name of the Almighty Creator and his servant Yahshua, Jesus, I asked him if it was important to make the adjustments necessary to use names that were entirely unfamiliar and quite difficult to pronounce. His reply was simple. James, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? It's so important to understand that Lord is an accurate rendering of Baal, who's a demonic mastermind. You'll find Baal in many places in the Bible. Child sacrifices, evil, evil, evil. And yet we basically call Father Baal when we call him Lord or the Lord. And it also leads to confusion because Yeshua is also called Lord. So people then think that because Yeshua is Lord in the New Testament and Yah is Lord in the Old Testament, that Yeshua is Yah. And it's just not true, folks. The same with God. The correct word there is Elohim, which means Almighty or Mighty One. And calling him God, God is another mastermind, another pagan, demonic, satanic entity. It's such an insult. And the forces of darkness have been so successful in getting people to use these wrong names, and people get so attached to the wrong names, it's really sad. So coming back to that statement, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? It took me some years to fully comprehend the significance of that statement in the context of a number of key false names, and I've just touched on these. I'm going to go through them now in more detail. The Lord, the correct form is Yahweh, actually Yah, the eternally self-existing. So you'll find throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, certainly the Protestant Bible, capital T-H-E, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord. That name, the Lord, is substituted over 7,000 times in the Bible for Yah, the eternally self-existing, which is correctly Yahweh or Yahweh. It's accurately, as I said a minute ago, an accurate translation of Baal, a major demonic mastermind and pagan, that is Satan worshiper God. The use of the term the Lord in the context of Yeshua, Jesus, coupled to the Lord in the context of the Creator in the Old Testament, has contributed to the massive confusion that sees Yeshua being equated with Yah by most believers, thereby breaking the first commandment, which Yah, the self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no mighty ones beside him. Folks, this is really, really important stuff. Once you start using the accurate names, a lot of the confusion falls away. The confusion is in large measure bound up with the wrong names. And what you have here is that the satanic and demonic forces have progressively instituted and taught mankind all these errors, all these lies, in order to corrupt them and turn them from error. Remember that their goal is that by the end of the seventh millennium, there should not be a single believer left on earth. Then God, the correct form is Almighty or Mighty One, depending on context. God is the name of a Germanic demonic entity or God, and its substitution for the underlying Hebrew word Elohim that translates Mighty One or Mighty One lowercase or Almighty, depending on context, has given rise to major confusion. Insofar as Yahushua, Jesus, is a Mighty One, he is a God, lowercase, but he is not the Almighty Mighty One, that is, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. Point number three, Jesus, the correct form is Yahushua. The man commonly referred to as Jesus was a Hebrew from Yehuda, Judah, and therefore a Yehudite Jew. He was given the same name as the man who led Israel into the land of Israel, commonly and inaccurately referred to as Joshua. Both men were actually called Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. The use of Jesus and ignorance of the true name Yahushua, which directly evidences that the person bearing the name is not the Creator, Yahushua refers directly to the Creator, has also given rise to major confusion. Jesus is also a pagan name that relates to Zeus, another demonic mastermind and pagan Satan worshipper god, Mighty One, and means blessed of Zeus. It's a gross insult to call Yahushua Jesus. So there we see another two pagan false names. And if you use those names and if you worship entities with those names, you're worshiping demonic masterminds. You don't want to do that, folks. It's not the right thing to be doing. Then Christ, the correct form is anointing or anointed. The incorrect translation of references to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah as Christ, references to people who are anointed ones, also translated Christ, has further given rise to massive error and confusion. Yeshua the man filled with, that is, anointed with, the Spirit of Yah, was an anointed one, that is, Christ, and thus Jesus Christ accurately translates Yahushua, the anointed of Yah, and again clearly evidences the distinction between the man Yeshua and the anointing or Christ. It is thus apparent that it was through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, that is the Christ, that performed the miracles through the man Yahushua. This error contributes in a major way to the confusion with regard to the identity of Yahushua through people equating Christ with Jesus. So you get this situation where there are verses in the Bible that refer to Christ. So, for example, Christ Jesus, which is the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that strengthens me. And so because people have equated Christ with Jesus and basically said you can call Jesus Christ instead of using the correct names and the correct language, you get this huge confusion that people refer to the Christ as being Jesus when the Christ is actually the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on Jesus or on Yeshua. It's really important to understand this distinction, because if you don't get it, you're again going to end up in the situation where you're worshipping Jesus or worshipping the Christ and saying that Jesus is God. It's just crazy. With this understanding, it is apparent that the true meaning of the word Christian is one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, from which we discover that there are very few of the people who call themselves Christian are in fact anointed ones. From this we see that the religion known as Christianity, correctly the religion of the anointed ones, is false and fraudulent in terms of the vast majority of those who adopt that label. And therefore, since the vast majority of Christians are, in strict terms, unbelievers, worship of Jesus is pagan, that is, satanic, and not from Yah, which makes broad-based Christianity a pagan, that is, a Satan-worshipping religion. The fact that there are some Christians who are anointed ones does not make the religion acceptable. Yah has been speaking for decades, telling those who truly love him to come out of her, my people. Once all these deceptions have been understood and moved out of one's daily life, one can begin to develop a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator and cease sinning. So it's really important to understand this, folks. Christian, correctly translated as anointed with the Spirit of Yah, is so different to Christian. Once you understand it, you will start to draw a distinction between people who are true believers, anointed with the Spirit of Yah, and those that are following some pagan religion, which is a distortion and twisted form. Remember, the mastermind's objective is to get everyone turn everyone from worshipping Yah, and worshipping Jesus, worshipping the cross, etc., is how they're doing it. And then they're doing similar things with Islam and Judaism. Note that if you do not know the true name of the Almighty, it is not possible to keep the third commandment, which is, you shall not take the name of Yah, the eternal, self-existing, your mighty one, in vain. Once you know that his name is Yah, you will know that words like Yahoo, Yah, Afrikaans, Yah, German, Yavol, German, etc., are blasphemous and should be avoided at all costs. It is not possible to fully understand the historical writings in the Bible without understanding this truth. It is also not possible to fully relate to the Creator if one does not know his true name. The articles on which this broadcast is based go into a lot more detail, and I encourage you to study them carefully. In particular, it is important to realize that a www.yahoo.com email address is blasphemous and breaks the third commandment. I regularly get emails from people who are committed believers at some level who have a yahoo.com email address, and oftentimes when I raise it with them, it's like it just goes over their heads. They don't get it, they don't care, because they don't know that the name of the Almighty is Yah, or Yahoo, or Yahweh. And so they face judgment when they die. They're going to come before the throne, and the Father is going to say to them, you have sent X thousand emails and received Y thousand emails in the name of yahoo.com. That's blasphemy. You're going to go to hell to be tormented for your sin. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. Then Yah is the essential name of the Almighty. The fundamental essential name of the Almighty is Yah, pronounced in a similar way to the short form of the German Yahwol, or Afrikaans Yah, just Yah. It is not possible to fully understand the historical writings without understanding this truth. It is also not possible to fully relate to the Creator if one does not know his true name. I can't stress this enough, folks. Calling him God or the Lord or G_D. I mean, it's kind of tragic, you know. People are so preoccupied with using his name right that they've completely sabotaged his name. It's I don't know what language to use. It's really sad. When somebody thinks that the name of the Almighty is God, and that it's offensive to say God, rather they should say G_D. It is so far off the mark, folks. And calling him Hashem and things like that, as some Jewish people do, it's sad for him. It's foolish for the human beings who do it. There's absolutely no reason to do it. I became aware of Yahweh in 2000. Towards the end of 2000, I was fasting, seeking truth. And that's when I went to Father and said, does it matter? And he said, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? So that's 22 years ago. There's absolutely no excuse today to be using the wrong names. The right names have been available on the website, on the internet, since well before 2000. So in 2013, October, I wrote an article referenced 2013.10.01. Yah is angry about names. After posting the article on Is Jesus Zeus, which is on the website, Yah said to me, Son of man, do you see how these people presume to play games with the name of the most powerful created being in the universe and with the name of their creator? He subsequently said to me, I am angry. These people have no excuse. I extended grace to previous generations because very few had access to the truth and the persecution was so severe. Today they have the internet and they can research without hindrance. They have turned against me, so shall I now turn against them. So if you are at some level claiming to be a believer and claiming to have a relationship with Father, and you are still calling him the Lord and God, and you're still calling Yahushua Jesus, you may be in for a nasty shock when you die. You're going to come before the throne, and Yah is going to say to you, Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And conversely, you never knew me. And I'm quoting Yeshua there in the Bible. This is not something that I've invented. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Another article, 2009-1201. Yah in everyday language, breaking the third commandment. I recently emailed a number of people with yahoo.com email addresses to caution that this name is very close to the true name of our Almighty Father, Yah or Yahweh, and advising them to obtain an alternative email address, as I'm concerned that yahoo.com breaks the third commandment not to take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing Yahweh or Yahweh, in vain. One of the people I emailed replied, thanking me and pointing out that a word sounding very similar to Yah is regularly used in English for yes. And I then realized that the Afrikaans word for yes, Yah, also sounds the same as do words for yes in other languages. One should seek to avoid using words that sound like Yah in any language for common day-to-day speaking, as the forces of the darkness have inserted these words into common usage in order to trick as many people as possible into breaking the third commandment. It's so important to see all of these things within the thread of the forces of darkness are doing everything they can to get people to not have relationship with Father Yah, and therefore, when they die, to be found to be unbelievers. As I said earlier, there are only a few hundred thousand people on earth today who are really at some material level serving Yah, and even they are pretty weak. And most of them are making the mistakes that we're talking about in this broadcast. So I encourage you, embrace the true names, Yah, Yahushua, Almighty, anointing of the Spirit of Yah, and let go of God and the Lord and Jesus and Christ, etc. 2013-091, why names are important. Various people have written to me to take issue with me regarding the names that I've been advocating. Arguments include, I've called him Jesus since I was a child, and he knows how much I love him. And, Father knows my heart. He does not mind what name I use. And, Father is bigger than that. And, grace. Someone else has argued linguistically against the assertion that Jesus is derived from Zeus. And so people argue intellectually against something that is not intellectual. When I was young, some of my friends called me Jim, a common abbreviation for James. I resisted strenuously, and even today I will scarcely acknowledge anyone who addresses me as Jim. I know that my name is important to me, and it upsets me when people distort it. When I speak in countries where the language is not English, they always introduce me as Dr. James Robertson. The pronunciation may sometimes not be familiar, but they never suggest that they should translate my name. Folks, this is so, so important. If you are of a mind to say, I've called him that since I was a child and he knows how much I love him. Father has clearly said, if you call him by those names, you don't love him. I can't be more direct than that. It's not about him making compromises with your sloppy language. It's about you getting your sloppy language sorted out. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but that's what it looks like. You are going to get a horrible shock when you die if you're still calling him God and the Lord and Yeshua, Ach, and Jesus and such like. When I first became aware of the fact that the name God, the Lord, and Jesus were inaccurate, I asked Father about it, and I've told you this and just repeated. How would you like it if your wife or your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? I stopped using the names I'd used all my life. It was a battle at first, but I had got the message and I worked on it. It also took me time to get to the transliterations that Father said were most accurate in modern English. But I'd got the message, and Father was blessed by the fact that I tried and it brought him joy. Finally, Father led me to transliterations that virtually no one recognizes, but they are what he says are most accurate, and he should know. Recently, after someone had written to me telling me about how much they loved Jesus and how Father understood the use of Jesus, Father said to me, if your wife insisted on calling you by the wrong name, after you had made her aware that she was using the wrong name and the name she was using was offensive to you, you would divorce her, wouldn't you? I agreed, and Father responded, and so I divorce them. Folks, this is not second order nice stuff that you can be fluffy about. This is stuff that is really, really important to Father. If you love him, call him Yah. If you love Jesus, call him Yahushua. If you won't call them Yah and Yeshua, don't say you love them because you don't. That's not my opinion. That's what Yah says. If you call him the Lord or God, you don't love him. If you call Yeshua Jesus, you don't love him. The simple fact is that the fundamental name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is Yah, amplified or explained as Yah, the eternally self-existing, frequently represented as Yahweh and more correctly Yahuwah, and the name of the Prophet of Nazareth is Yahushua. Depending on which source you rely on, you will find Yah throughout the so-called Old Testament. If you hold the Bible to be important, then you owe it to Yah to call him by his correct name. Derived from the above, it becomes apparent that Yahu is a derivative of the name of the Almighty, that is, that Yahu as in an exclamation of excitement and as in name at yahoo.com, which Yah says is a blasphemous name and a name that is deeply hurtful to Yah when used by believers. So if you go into an interlinear Bible and look up, or you go to Strong's Concordance or any other concordance, and you look up the words translated the Lord, you will find Yahweh most of the time. And if you look up Yahweh carefully on the internet, you will find Yah, the eternally self-existing. You're better to call him Yahweh than God or the Lord, and it's not particularly accurate. The correct form is Yah, the eternally self-existing, and that tells us who he is. It tells us a lot about him. So fundamentally, his name is Yah. Who do you serve? I serve Yah. Who's the creator of the heavens and the earth? Yah. It's not difficult. It's actually quite simple. You just need to stop saying Yah instead of yes in whatever language you speak. So how do I know? Some years ago, Yah indicated to me that someone who was very close to him should cease using their yahoo.com email address. I advised them accordingly, and they rejected the message. By doing this, they opened the door for massive demonic attack on their ministry and themselves. At the time it happened, I saw Yah in tears, racked with grief, that this person whom he loved so much cared so little that they would continue to abuse his name once they'd been told the truth. Shortly after that, I was asked to communicate the same message to another, a person who had a yahoo.com groups community that had been running for the order of 10 years with a huge store of articles, etc. This man immediately agreed to cease using yahoo.com and move to another service provider with great personal inconvenience and sacrifice. At the time this man made the decision, I saw Yah in tears of joy. This man who had so little, loved so much, that he was willing to sacrifice even the little he had to please his Father in heaven. So I say to you today, do you love the Almighty Creator enough to cease using pagan names and bring him joy and cease blaspheming with your Yahoo email address, etc.? Folks, to me this is profound. When I saw, I saw him weeping, I didn't see a bodily form. I just saw an impression of Father in tears. Tears of grief the first time, tears of joy the second time. So important. Please use the correct name. In 2013-03-11, names do matter, Yah and Yahshua. This is the beginning of a fairly lengthy article, and I will carry on with this in next week's broadcast, Yah willing. There is all sorts of debate about the true name of the Almighty Creator, known commonly as God or the Lord, and the true name of the Prophet of Galilee, commonly known as Jesus. By extension of the articles referred to above, there is only one way to find the true names, and that is by praying for guidance and fasting until one comes to a place of personal revelation through the leading of the Spirit of the Almighty. Intellectually, one can reason that Yahshua, Jesus, was a Jew or a Hebrew, and that it is therefore reasonable for him to have a Hebrew name. One can extend this argument to the effect that the name of Yah, or of the Almighty in the form of Yah, permeates the Hebrew language in the names of Hebrew men and women and in words such as Hallelujah. We'll talk more about this next week. It's so important, folks. If you don't accept my teaching, rationalizing it, intellectualizing it, looking at authorities. I've seen over the years a lot of people who go back to the so-called founding fathers of the Christian faith and what have you. And somebody wrote something 1400, 1600, 1800 years ago. And they infer that because that person was closer to the time of Yeshua that they had more truth. And they come up with all sorts of ludicrous rationalizations, intellectualizations. Folks, this is not amenable to intellectual analysis. If you don't believe me, get on your knees and ask Father. If that's not enough, fast until you get an answer. And by fast, I mean water only for 3 days, for 7 days, for 21 days. Do what you have to do to get the truth. There's a page on the website, what to do if you disagree with me. If you don't agree with what I've shared with you today, please go and read that and do what it says there. So I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator today. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I made the point right at the beginning of tonight's broadcast. We were created to be friends of the Almighty. He wants you to be his friend. It doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your language, doesn't matter your wealth or lack of it, your education or lack of it. Doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, male or female. He wants you to be his friend. And it's there for you to seek to become his friend. There's a huge amount on the website to help you to do that, and I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to pray right now and say, Father, I want to become your friend. So to close off, documents and a video on the website menu, compendium of important articles, Why Seek Relationship, a video, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. I've published a really substantial number of articles in the last 29 years. Nearly all of them are on the website. That's comprehensively indexed, as I say, with Google, with the article keyword cloud, etc. So if you've got questions, either email me and I will do my best to answer your question, or go and look on the website. You may well find your answer, the answer to your question there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I hope that I've challenged you. I hope above all things that you are seriously considering seeking to become a friend of the Almighty. He's really lonely. He created this entire spectacular universe, the spectacular earth, these spectacular human beings to be his friends. And there's hardly a single human being who is a friend at any meaningful level today. It's there for you, not the person to the left of you or the right of you or in front of you or behind you or above you or under you. It's there for you, irrespective of your race, your color, your creed, your language, whether you're educated or not, whether you're wealthy or not, whether you've got black skin or white skin or whatever skin, black hair, white hair, blonde hair, blue eyes, green eyes, brown eyes, it doesn't matter. He wants you to be his friend, and I urge you to go for it. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I